You are listening to the Impact Church podcast. To learn more about Impact Church, visit us online at impactharlem.org. You can also check us out on social media.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. When all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of the joy that will be for all people. For upon you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there were angels and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see the things that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known, saying that had been told them concerning this child. And who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it has been told them.
Amen, amen, man. Welcome to Christmas at Impact Church. I'm so glad you guys are here. Just really quick, I want to give some props to our middle school group that read the Christmas story to us this evening. Some of them were nervous, some of them weren't. You couldn't tell at all. They did really well. And we do have a photo area in the back, in the hallway in the very back, if you guys want to take some family pictures. I know that my wife is going to make me take some family pictures, which is why I kind of dressed up tonight just a little bit. And it's Christmas, right? And you dress up in Christmas time. That's what they say. I almost wore khaki pants, and I didn't, obviously. So, man, we've been in a series called Wonder. We've looked at, man, how wonderful God is. We looked at the wonder of God's love, the wonder of God's timing. We looked at the wonder of God's names last week. And, man, tonight we get to look at the wonder of God's hope. And if you're sitting in this place and you're like, "Yeah, so I got all the hope I need, man. I don't really need any more hope. My hope is in me and I'm pretty awesome." I just want you to know with all the love that I have that you're not that awesome. And like, I'm not either, right? So it's not just you, it's me too. Like, we're just not good enough on our own. There's no amount of hope that we can muster up on our own that is enough. And if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I would bet that some of you in this room right now that you are struggling with something. That there is some pain that you're going through. And I would say this to you tonight. And I want to start here because I really think that someone needs to hear this. But Jesus came as a baby in a manger, not for people in the middle of their praise, but for people in the middle of their pain. And he didn't show up to a worship service. Jesus showed up with people waiting for God to do something. See, this was the greatest announcement of all time when the angels came down to the shepherds and said, "Hey, so Savior's been born," right? Greatest announcement ever. But man, this started back in the book of Genesis. We see in Genesis chapter 1 that God created. And then we see in Genesis chapter 2 that we screwed it all up. And then we see in Genesis chapter 3 that God says this to the enemy. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He's talking to the devil. And he says, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And he's talking about there's going to be someone that comes that's going to crush you. So all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we get this, hey, there's a Savior coming. There is someone coming. There is hope coming. And then if you want to wrap up the entire Old Testament really quickly, it all points to that announcement. All the priests, all the prophets, the tabernacle, the temple, everything points to the announcement that there is a Savior coming. And then we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And then, I don't know how it works up in heaven. I can just imagine God being like, hey man, so it's time. And he's talking to some angels, and he says, hey, go tell these people right here that Jesus is born. And they're like, are you sure those people? Because those people are shepherds, and shepherds are dirty, nasty, outcast people. And God's like, yeah, those are my people. And I'm like, yeah, that's like Impact Church people. I'm just kidding. But you guys, hey, so this is what we say here, right? That we're imperfect people engaging a perfect God. Because if we ever get to the point where we think we don't need him, then we got it all wrong. Like, we need him. There's nothing that we can do on our own without him. And I want to read just a little bit of what the middle schoolers read in Luke chapter 2. We're just going to read verses 8 through 12. And then there's five really key phrases in this passage that I want to pull out. And it's going to be quick, but I think this will help us as we continue to move forward in this life. As we continue to try to really understand what hope looks like. As we continue to try to take our next steps of faith. I think that the Christmas story is a good place for us to start. Because, again, it doesn't end there. It's just the beginning of the rescue mission for humanity. So in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says this. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Let's pray. God, I pray that you speak this evening through your Spirit. God, that your word goes forth. God, and that you do what only you can do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Really quickly, I want to point out five key phrases. The first one is this, shepherds, right? And we just hit on this, but I want you to understand the importance of the angels going to the shepherds. The shepherds were people who were unclean. They were spiritually unclean. They followed sheep around all day. So physically, they had to be pretty unclean. I don't know if you've ever followed sheep around all day, but it's probably not fun. It's probably dirty. They were not citizens of any place. And what that meant back then is, if they testified in court for any reason, their testimony would be thrown out because they had no address. They were not citizens of anywhere. And God says, hey, those are the people I want you to go tell. Those are the people I want you to go share the greatest announcement ever. I want you to share it with those people. The people who feel like they don't fit in. The people who just don't belong. The people who are outcast. The people who are hurting. And the shepherds, man, I can imagine that they're like, first of all, it tells us that they're scared, right? And when we think about angels, we think about the little chubby babies with the arrows, right? And that, I mean, the Bible doesn't describe angels that way. And if you just go back to Scripture and look at how the Bible describes angels, like, it would scare you too if one came. And just think about this for the guys in the room. Let's just be real for a minute. We have a bunch of shepherds, a bunch of guys, in the middle of the night, hanging out together. I don't know if you've ever been camping with a group of guys, but you're probably not singing worship songs and sharing testimonies, right? So you have these guys, and these angels of the Lord appear, and they're like, yeah, we're dead. Like, this is it for us. And the angels are like, hey, man, don't be afraid. The Bible calls angels warrior messengers for God. And I could just imagine how this would play out if me and my friends were camping, which I don't do camping much, so probably not going to happen for me. But if you guys were camping, and it's like, yeah, so here's God giving this great announcement through these angels, and he's picking people that no one else would pick. And maybe you're in this place, and you're thinking, yeah, so I kind of feel like one of those people. I kind of feel like one of those people that no one else would choose. I kind of feel like one of those people who I don't know if God would really use me or not. Like, my past is ridiculous. I'm not even really sure what's going on in the present, and I don't even think about the future, right? Maybe some of you are there. And God says, yeah, so that's who I'm choosing. I want to choose you. And I want to encourage you this evening to know that God loves you. The second phrase is good news. And in Greek, this literally means gospel. They were sharing the gospel. Good in the fact that God meets you exactly where you are. However you walked into this place tonight, you don't have to clean yourself up. God will go into your darkest moments and meet you there. Because he's a good father who loves his kids. And again, this is news because it's something that really happened. And Jesus really came. Jesus really lived. Jesus really died on the cross. Jesus really defeated death. And Jesus really is alive. It's not just some make-believe thing. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus. That as we go through life, as rebels, as we go through life trying to do what we want to do, God says, I love you enough to send Jesus on a rescue mission for you. The third phrase is for all the people. For all the people. Now, again, I think the shepherds are like, yeah, so I get this. I get that this is for all the people, just not us, because we aren't part of all the people. And maybe you feel like that. Maybe you just feel like you're not part of all the people. Maybe you just don't fit in anywhere. Maybe you don't feel welcome anywhere. Maybe you don't feel like you have much purpose. Maybe you feel like you're just going through motions each and every day and you don't know what the purpose of life is at all. And God would say, hey, well, I sent Jesus for all the people. And the shepherds, they're saying, I can just imagine this. Yeah, man, that's cool. I get it. We'll go tell all the people. We're just not all the people. And I think that the angels double down here because then they say, for unto you this day. He makes it even more personal for them. Hey, yeah, so this is for all the people, and you are part of all the people. And then he says a Savior. A Savior is born, not just a teacher. Not just a life coach, a Savior, the Savior of the world. An angel appeared to Joseph after Mary told him that she was with child, and it wasn't his, obviously, but it's God's. And you can imagine how that goes in your own head, but it wouldn't go well for me. And an angel appears to Joseph and says, hey, so she's telling you the truth. And in Matthew 1, verse 21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Listen, man, this is the Savior of the world. This isn't just some good person. It's not just a teacher. It's not just a life coach. We're not mistakers in need of a life coach, right? We're sinners in need of a Savior. We don't just make mistakes, and then we just need to be coached how to do better. No, we're sinners, and because of our sin, we deserve death, and we need a Savior who can bring us life. This is the Savior of the world. See, Christmas may be a celebration of a baby in a manger, but it's ultimately a celebration of a Savior on the cross. Jesus doesn't stay in a manger. He carries his love all the way to the cross for you and for me. And that leads us to our last phrase here, wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, I know that we see little nativity scenes and there's this wooden manger and it looks all cute. Man, that's not what it looked like. I don't want to spoil that for you. If you want to believe in that, go ahead. That's just not what it looked like. History tells us that what this manger more than likely looked like was just a carving out in a cave. And I think that this is foreshadowing because Jesus came wrapped in cloths, lying in a cave, and then he was put in a cave wrapped in cloths that could not hold him down as he defeated death and rose from the grave. See, we serve a God who is not only love, but man, he's all powerful. We serve a God who we can't even understand the greatness of. He's bigger than anything we could ever imagine. How many of you have ever said Jesus is the reason for the season? Don't be ashamed of this. Raise your hand if you said it. No, but come on, man. Look, be honest in this place. We don't lie. We don't even do white lies here. Okay, so I got some news for you, and this may be a little controversial to you, and I'm okay with that. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. But I would say and I would argue that Jesus isn't the reason for the season. See, I think that Jesus is the reason for the celebration, but I think it's me and you. We're the reason for the season. Jesus was doing just fine up in heaven. No, he came on a rescue mission because we are sinners, because we are broken people, because of our fallenness. It was because of our sin that he came to start with. So yeah, he's the reason for the celebration. But man, it's because of our sin that he came in the first place. And I want us to own that tonight. I want us to own the fact that we have fallen short. And we have some amazing people sitting in this room. I'm looking around this room. Man, we got some beautiful people. We got some amazing people. Some well-dressed people. Other kind of people. We got all kinds of people in this room. But here's the truth. That in and of ourselves, we have fallen short. And we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And because of that reason, God sent Jesus on a rescue mission for all of humanity. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. I don't know where you are this Christmas season. I don't know what kind of baggage that you brought into this place. But this is what I know. I know that God is bigger than all of it. And that the hope that we find in him is the fact that he loved us enough to send Jesus to this earth. That this little baby, the King of Kings, in this manger would grow up and 33-ish years later would die on a cross for you and for me. And he would be laid back in a cave, wrapped in cloths again. And 3 days later, he would defeat death. And he sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Man, what a beautiful picture of the gospel. How many of you have ever had your dogs picked up by the pound and taken to the pound? Okay, we got some honest folks. Appreciate that. Okay, I was reading a story this week about how this guy lost his two boxers. They got out, and he lived in a neighborhood, but the neighborhood was next to two really busy streets. And his babysitter called and said, "Hey, I haven't seen the dogs in a few hours. I think they got out." So he comes home, and the gate was open, and he starts riding around the neighborhood with a piece of cheese, calling the dogs. And I guess dogs like cheese, I'm not sure. And in the story, he says, so God tells us to love our neighbors. It's really hard because sometimes they ask really stupid questions. And one of the neighbors said, did you lose your dogs? He's like, no, grandma and grandpa like to get out sometimes and they like cheese, right? So he's riding around the neighborhood trying to find the dogs. He gets a call from his wife. And she says, hey, I found the dogs. And he's like, great, where? She said, on the internet. And he's like, did they start a GoFundMe page? Like, well, how are they on the internet? He's like, well, they're at the pound. So apparently someone picked them up, took them to the pound, or the pound found them and took them. So he was like, cool, I'm going to the pound. I'll go get them. On his way there, he calls the pound. He said, yeah, you just got to come and claim the dog. So he gets there, and he's like, hey, I'm here to pick up my dogs. She says, well, you got to identify them. So he walks back past all these dogs. It's like, pick me. And he's like, no, I'm not picking. I'm just going to get my dogs. And he gets there, and he's like, yep, that's them. What do I need to do? She said, we got to walk back and fill out some paperwork. So they walk back up front. He's filling out the paperwork. And she says, it's going to be $290 for each dog. And he, how did they increase in value? Like, I don't get it. Like, I didn't even pay that much for them. I could pay that and get better dogs. What if I don't get them? What will you do? Like, you know, he really wanted to know if they were going to kill him or not, put him to sleep. And that was kind of okay to him because he likes dogs and he knows that all dogs go to heaven, not cats, but dogs. And they said, well, we don't do that here. We give them a really good bath, we clip their nails, and the male who hadn't been fixed yet, they would do that, and they would put him up for adoption. He says, okay, and he's thinking about it, and he's kind of just looking around, and he sees a sign at the door that says, adopt a dog today for $30. And he's like, okay, I think I know what I need to do. I'm going to turn over the custody of my dogs to you. What do I need to do? So he has to fill out all this paperwork, and they stamp it. Everything's good. They own the dogs. He said, I just want to make sure that these dogs are not mine. They're yours. He said, yes, sir. These are our dogs. Cool. He walks out to the door. He walks right back in and says, I would like to adopt two dogs. Maybe boxers. We already have names picked out for them. And this lady says, you can't adopt your own dogs. He says, well, I have papers here that say they're not my dogs. They're your dogs, and I want to adopt them. So he gets his dogs back for $30 each. And he says, hey, can I take them now? And they're like, no, you got to come back in 3 days because we got to give them a bath. We got to cut their nails, and we got to fix the mail. So he got them back in better shape. But here's the point of this story is this, that, man, what if he would have walked to his dogs and said, hey guys, you owe me $290 each. And I'm not taking you until you pay me the $290. Now, there's no way that those dogs could have paid him the $290. They could have promised that they would bring him food in bed, that they would clean up the house, that they would teach the kids how to write and read and do all this stuff, and it still wouldn't have paid the debt that they owed in the $290. And what happens is, see, he had a fence in his backyard, and what we like to think, and probably what those dogs think is, man, our freedom is gone. They're trying to control me. And what God knows is, hey, this fence is to protect you and to provide for you. But what we do, like the dogs, is that we try to get out of the fence whenever we can. We try to get out of the control and the relationship of the master. And when we do that, it only leads to destruction. It only leads to death. It only leads to a debt that we cannot pay. And this guy, he gets his dogs back for $30 in way better shape than they were in when they left. And that's what God does for us. That is the purpose of Christmas, is that, hey, we have gotten out of relationship with him. We are fallen, broken people. And God says, hey, well, I'm sending Jesus to redeem you because there's a debt you can't pay. And man, when I get you, I'm going to get you in better shape than you were in when you left. And not only that, I'm going to continue to shape you. I'm going to continue to clean you. I'm going to continue to cut things off. I'm going to continue to mold new things. I'm going to continue to love you and to guide you and to lead you. Hey, there's a debt you can't pay. And God says, hey, I paid the debt for you. And it started with him sending Jesus as a little baby in a manger. And I know I say all the time that Christmas is just not my favorite holiday, right? I'm just not a big fan of it. But let me tell you what I am a fan of. I'm a fan of the gospel of Jesus. Because I can't get over the fact that I'm a dirty sinner in need of a Savior. I can't get over the fact that God sent Jesus on a rescue mission for me. I can't get over the fact that all the crazy stuff that I've done in my life and all the crazy stuff I'm going to do, God says, hey, I still have a purpose for you, and he allows me to lead you guys because I'm not worthy of that. I don't deserve that. But God says, man, you are who I say you are, and I say that you're a child of God.
Thank you for joining us at the Impact Church Podcast. For this and other messages, visit us online at impactharlem.org. In the meantime, you can subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it on iTunes, and share it with your friends on social media. Once again, thanks for joining us at the Impact Church Podcast.